as you take a look at people, this dominant buying style inside of whatever they're doing affects every part of their sales process.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Scott, a couple years ago, we were in Vegas at a sales seminar, and they asked you to get up and present. And you got up and presented on how people sell like they buy, and you gave three distinct reasons or segments on why. Could you go over those three and let us know what those are?
Sure. So let me give you a little bit of background on where this came from and why this is important. You know, I ride with salespeople every day in various industries. You know, I grew up doing heating and air sales, but I ride with technicians, I ride with plumbers, I could ride with a roofer. But early on in my career, I started, I would look at people and I'd say, look, why did this training work for one guy and not for another? And so I started asking the people who are riding with a question to figure out what their buying style was, because I started correlating their buying style was their selling style. And one of the biggest things that I took away was if I didn't ask this question and talk to them about how to figure out their buying style, I couldn't really coach them the right way in the training process. So I'm sure you want to know what the question is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So it would go something like this. Hey, Dale, if you had to go buy a TV, but you had to specifically save up the money, it wasn't a gift, and it was going to be a treat for you. Not like you could just go out and write a check or put it on a credit card, but you really had to save up for it. And it was $1,000. What's your process and how long would it take you to buy this TV?
I can remember back to when I had to do things like that, and the process was I would look in the papers at the ads. I would look for the price of it. I would see if I could get it cheaper, where the best warranty would be on it. And I would ask friends about if they'd heard of it or if they know about it. And if I would go in and listen to it, if it was, say it was a stereo or a TV, watch the picture on the TV.
Okay. You would look for coupons. You would look for a deal. You would ask a lot of people.
Yeah, that's the way when I remember being young, that's how I did it.
Okay. And I want to first point out there's nothing wrong with any of these buying styles, but as a salesperson, you really need to know what they are.
Sure.
You really need to be able to figure out what a buying style is so you can sell to each person, okay? So the first buying style that we're talking about is going to be like the price-conscious buyer. And they're going to use a lot of words like maybe cheap, coupon, bang for the buck, best deal possible. These are things that they're going to say when you are talking with them and when you're interacting with them. They could say things like price match. They could say things like, give me the manager special. And these are just words to key in on. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Then we're going to go to the second category of people. And the second category of people is going to be somebody who's hybrid. Somebody who can go from the cheap end of the spectrum, and they can go to a store and say, hey, you're sensory representative, Dale. I just want somebody who's got something that's the middle of the road. It doesn't have to be the best. I'm not looking for the cheapest, but I'm also not looking for the most expensive.
Something that works, something that's reliable.
Yeah, reliable. And these are the type of words that they're going to say. Reliable, something that works, something nice. It doesn't have to be the best.
Doesn't need all the bells and whistles.
Cool. Bells and whistles is another thing to key in on. And just listening to the way that buyers are. Now, the last group of people is going to be the person who likes things that are exclusive, that likes things that not everybody else can get, that kind of has a snob appeal. Not like in a bad thing, but not like I'm saying that that's a bad thing if this is what you like. This is just the way that people like to buy. They might want to not have to wait in line. They might want something that's exclusive. They might flat out say, I want the best of the best.
Oh, that's, yeah, I can definitely understand that with one of the groups that I'm in right now is if you want anything, I can call a guy and he can get me anything I want.
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Steve Sims. Cost a lot of money to be involved with it, but all I have to do is make a phone call and it's where do you want to go, where do you want, and you need a private jet, what do you need, and it's there, and I'll have it for you when you want it.
Yeah, that's an exclusive buyer. Now, let's tie this all together and explain where the struggles are. Let's say that you're back, you know, in your younger years where money was tighter for you and you had more challenges, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
And you were going through that process, you would want to look for the complete opposite. Because if your buying style is to constantly look for coupons and things that are cheap or inexpensive, the person who just makes the purchase, what you might think is willy-nilly or irresponsible, might drive you insane. You might even try to talk them out of their option. I have been on sales call where I'm with somebody who their buying style is cheap, and the person who's making the buying decision, the actual purchaser, will say, I want the best of the best. And the salesperson who's got the cheap buying style will talk them out of that option.
That's interesting, but it makes sense.
Okay. So whatever your opposite is not enemy in a bad way, but it's the one selling style that you don't like. So I would say I'm more of along the lines of probably between hybrid and exclusive, because I'm an impulsive buyer. I don't like to wait in line. I'm an impatient person. And so when I see people dragging their feet, it drives me insane. And this is one of the biggest struggles that I had when I was first a salesperson, and I was able to identify this in salespeople pretty quick because they were similar to me, and I'd start seeing them get frustrated with somebody who they thought was dragging their feet.
Yeah, a 7-minute sale compared to a 2.5-hour sale.
Sure.
Give me the 7-minute sale anytime.
Most definitely.
So, yeah, I'm like that. I am very impulsive. If it's something I want, I go out and I get it.
Yeah, and it's not a matter of, do I look for the coupon? Do I go to the reviews? Do I talk a bunch of people? In my mind, so if I'm talking to people, it drives me insane because I read some of the reviews and I'm like, this person's an idiot. Why would I even bother to ask anybody for advice if they're all going to sound like this?
Well, you say you're impulsive, but I know you a lot better than that. You know what you're looking for. You're impulsive when you decide, when you've seen something that you want, you look quickly, but you go in and you buy it because you know that you've seen it and it's something that you want. So, you know, I understand what you're saying, but people aren't just dumb. That just because they're impulsive doesn't mean that they don't check things out and run with it.
Exactly. But as you take a look at people, this dominant buying style inside of whatever they're doing affects every part of their sales process, not just when they're making a decision, everything.
Okay, yeah, and I'm kind of switching to the buyer mode instead of the sale mode when we're talking. So I have to switch my thinking right now as we're talking.
Okay, well let's go through the entire sales process. Fast rapport versus short rapport. Okay. Do you build rapport fast?
Yeah, I think I do.
Okay, so a danger for you might be as somebody who builds rapport slow.
All right, somebody that wants to talk a little bit slower. I know we talk about mirroring and different things like that, but yeah, somebody that just takes forever to get a point across, yeah, that drives me flipping crazy.
Okay. Well, this again, your buying style is your selling style. People sell how they buy. I can build rapport really fast with people, and I can get really irritated and very impatient if somebody doesn't seem like they're syncing with me.
Right. So, no, and that makes, there again, it bugs me if somebody's selling to me, but I do pay attention on what somebody is doing to build that rapport. If they're talking slow, if they want to take their time to get something, I'm willing to work with it. So with what you're talking about with that, it does make a lot of sense for me.
Now, okay, so we start with rapport. That's going to be the beginning of a sales process. Let's go through the entire sales process.
All right.
Do you like people who ask you a lot of questions or just get straight to the point?
I'm more of, let's get to the point. If somebody has a few questions, yeah, I'll answer all the questions that need to be done, whether I'm selling or buying. But, you know, the less amount of questions, better. I like it.
Okay. Well, then I would possibly identify. Once again, there's nothing wrong with these, but I would identify that if you were struggling and you were going into a sales process, you would try to speed through the question process. You would speed through the discovery process.
Yeah, and I can see that could be a real problem for somebody that wants to, you know, just to discover everything. You know, you said the word discovery. So yeah. Somebody that is looking for more information, and to me, sometimes it's information overload, but for other people, they need that.
Okay, so the next part of this conversation would be facts. You need a lot of facts or a few facts?
To me, I need a few facts.
Okay, So your enemy in the sales process would be somebody who asks a lot of questions to get to a lot of facts.
Yes, it would be.
Okay. Do you like to hem and haw, or do you like to make a quick decision? Are you one to say, look, let me put in sleep on this? Or do you like to say, look, I like what I like, and I'm just going to buy it?
I'm one of those that I like it, I buy it. Okay. It's very seldom do I give somebody the objection of, let me think about it.
Okay.
Instead, I just soon say, hey, not interested, but thanks for coming in.
Okay. So this goes into objections. Let's talk a little bit about objections. If you're buying something, you're flat out telling me right now, you're telling the person I'm not interested in it.
Yes.
Okay. A lot of salespeople struggle with this because they don't want to let the person down that they're sitting across from.
Okay. I know where you're coming from on that.
Okay.
So
we can go one step further. We could talk about somebody who will confront somebody else will deal with the objections differently than somebody who's afraid to confront somebody. So we all know somebody who's got a strong personality.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. I'm thinking of my little sister right now. Okay. My sister Crystal has a strong personality, your daughter, my sister, and she is not afraid to tell people what she's thinking.
Oh, not at all.
And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. She's my sister. I love her. But she's one of those people that if she doesn't want it, she's going to tell you, I don't want it.
Yeah, and she'll tell you straight up front. She doesn't even give anybody a chance to try and explain or go farther.
Okay. Well, she wouldn't have a tough time handling objections. The people who struggle the most are the people who are afraid to say something.
Okay. So can you explain that?
Yeah. Yeah. So if I ride with somebody and they say, hey, I struggle with the sales process, I'm struggling with objections, I'm struggling with what people say to me and what they do, I'll flat out ask them. When somebody, let's say you go to the movie theater and the person in front of you is talking or they're rattling something or they're making a bunch of noise or they're playing on their cell phone, do you say something to them?
I get really irritated, but most of the time I really don't say anything.
Okay. That's not a bad thing. But it might mean you might hold back. Might mean you're going to hold back in the objection process.
Okay.
Okay. Let's take the example of me.
Yeah.
Mr. Super Impatient. I was in a movie theater in Sacramento, and these people were talking, and I literally turned around and stood up and asked the people if they needed a couple bucks to go get a coffee.
And how did that go for you?
The guy didn't realize, he didn't see me until he turned around and said, oh my, I'll go step outside here for a few minutes.
Okay.
So in the objection process, I don't have boundaries. I don't have somewhere where I'm afraid to ask a question. I'm not afraid to go into a place and ask something that most salespeople would say, I can't ask that question. I get kicked out of the call.
Yeah, I've heard you do a few of those things, and it's fun to watch you do that. And it just depends on what gear that I flip myself into.
Okay.
I do have the ability to do it. It's just not the gear that I always want to be in.
I guess the takeaway would be that there's nothing wrong with being a mild-mannered person. It's just they're gonna handle objections differently than somebody like me who's gonna say what they're thinking.
Now, when one of the things, and I might be stepping out of place here just a little bit, but with the heating and air business that you're training a lot in right now, they're probably like with my business. There's basically anywhere from 3 to 7 major objections that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
So, do you spend a lot of time with the technicians that buy or sell like they buy on the objections that are specific to them?
I do.
And could you give me an example of one?
How do you deal with, I want to think about it? And I just asked you that earlier. You're going to tell people flat out, I'm not interested.
Right.
You're also a business owner. You've been around the block in the business world for a while. A salesperson who's afraid to tell somebody that they're not buying may have a tough time dealing with, I want to think about it. It's one of these things that they really should be identifying that they don't talk about, that nobody teaches this process.
Yeah, because once you have somebody that says, I want to think about it, and the salesman leaves, forget it, because you're not going to ever get that person back on the phone. They're gonna watch their phone calls. They're not going to answer the phone, and they're going to hope that you go away.
Well, the thing is, too, you're sitting there, and you're talking, and they're saying they got to think about it. Why not get them off that oscillation? Why not say, well, what do you like? Let's get them to talk. So, Dale, what is it that you like?
Okay, I can understand that. Start getting them to talk about what they like about it and get them off of what they don't like.
Well, let's get them to talk about both.
Well, yeah, but get them on the like side first.
Okay, and we could do that.
I know, and then, because you don't want to stop on a negative. But
You know, there's a lot of stuff that that's taught in the persuasion world and in the sales and the influence world that I've tested. And, you know, just getting somebody to open up and talk about what they like and what they don't like, you could go either way. You could say, well, what do you not like? What do you like? And then have them tell you. Or you could say, what do you like? What do you not like? And it's just a matter of them getting that process of thinking, okay, well, I like it because it's shiny. I like it because it's fast. I like it because it's got lots of horsepower. Instead of sitting there going, okay. But there's a second component to this that people, they usually miss when they're dealing with objections. If I have the best product, the best service, the best widget, the best gizmo, whatever it is, and somebody says, hey, Scott, I got to think about it. If I don't come back and say, whoa, wait a minute. I've got the best product, the best service, the best widget, the best gizmo, and whatever I say that, and try to recoup and get that sale, am I really telling the truth? Do I really believe that I have the best?
Yeah, if you let somebody get away with that, you don't believe it yourself. So, I don't know. My mind's wandering a little bit, and we're talking about I want to think about it, and I think back to one of those same meetings that we're in, and Gary May.
Yeah.
When he goes in on a sales process and he sits down prior to sitting down, and we're talking about, you know, people sell like they buy, and prior to him sitting down and talking to a client, he talks to him and holds his hands up in the air and says, once I explain everything to you, I don't expect you to start waving your hands and going, I got to think about it. Got to think about it.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of that is, you know, making the people understand that you're going to give them all the information that they need to make a buying decision right now, and not to put you off.
And part of this is to identify their buying style.
Yeah. And I can see that that's an important thing.
And shout out to Gary May. That guy's a British dude, and he's brilliant.
Yeah, he really is.
I like Gary May.
He's funny as can be, too, the way he does his sale process.
Now, let's keep going through this whole entire process. We've gone through the presentation. We've gone through questions. We've gone through objections. Let's talk about negotiations. We've talked about personalities, but let's talk specifically about negotiation.
Okay. Where do you want to go with that?
Okay. How do you like to negotiate?
Wow, it's...
You buy a lot of cars for your industry. You buy a lot of cars being in a pest control business, right?
I do. Well, let's go out with last week. I went and bought a new truck for myself.
Okay.
My vehicle was getting a lot of miles on it because I've done a lot of things, had a lot of miles on it. Air conditioner sounded a little bit funny. The engine was trying to slip. Maybe it's because I wanted a new vehicle. You just never know. And I decided I was going to get a new pickup. So I showed up and I was on the lot, and there's a guy that I always deal with, Tony, at the dealership, and went in and I says, Tony, I want a pickup, but I don't want a 5-foot bed on the pickup. I want a longer bed. Actually, I wanted a utility bed, but your mom wouldn't let me buy a utility bed truck. Said I work too much anyway.
Hey, we got to talk about people's style they buy. Sometimes it's a relationship
absolutely.
That makes that buying decision for you.
So we walked around the lot, and there was a really pretty siren red truck that had a 6.5-foot bed. Now, I didn't want the 5-foot bed. I wanted a longer bed, but I really didn't want the 8-foot bed. Color was pretty, a lot of chrome on it. I wasn't as far upside down in the Tahoe that I had. We walked in, we did the deal, because I've negotiated enough times with Tony over the years that I know that the price that I'm going to get is the best price that I get. I don't have to worry about negotiating.
Okay. And I know Tony, who you're talking about. He's been around. I've seen him, met him. Let's just say you're not buying a Chevy and you got to go somewhere else. You know, I know that you bought some Nissans. I know you bought some Fords. Does it irritate you when you got to haggle a bunch, or are you just more of like, here's what I can do, here's what I'm willing to pay?
Okay. Another example. Last year I bought your mom a new car. We bought her a new Nissan. We went to a dealer that I hadn't dealt with before, and it took us 7 hours to get a Nissan.
Yeah.
Back and forth. I've bought 10 other Nissan vehicles from a different dealership, and I called them up and said, have the paperwork ready when I get there and I'll sign it. Yeah, that's my negotiations now, is have it ready for me. Don't waste my time.
Okay. Let's just talk. If you were a salesperson, I would identify some key indicators about you that you would struggle possibly with somebody who is someone who really wants to negotiate hard, somebody who wants to have a bunch of extra stuff thrown in, somebody who's going to take a long time to make a decision.
Yeah, I would definitely have a problem with that. Just come on, make a decision.
This is the impatient part of you coming out.
Yep.
Now, let's go through this whole entire process. If I'm a sales trainer and I don't know this about you, how can I effectively teach you?
You couldn't. If you don't know it about me, how are you going to do it? So you're going to have to ask questions to find out how I buy.
Okay. And my biggest question for anybody who's in sales, why would you take sales training if it doesn't identify how you need to sell the process? I go to a lot of training. I've been through a lot of training. And some of it works for me and some of it doesn't. The stuff that worked for me was the stuff that I identified in my buying style in the very beginning. And then once I identified that I had to be all these people, I had to be able to be the cheap buyer. I had to be able to be the medium person or the hybrid. I had to be the exclusive buyer and be able to talk to all these people. That's where my numbers really started to grow. That's where my closing process really started to take off, that I had to learn how to talk to people who had a different buying process than mine.
Okay. That with that, I know that there is, I have the style that I like to use.
Yeah.
I, you know, definitely have the style that I like to use. Can I switch back and forth? Yeah, absolutely. And you have to. Yeah, you have to deal with those people that want to take a long time. You have to deal with the ones that say in the pest control business, can you tell me a little bit about the chemicals and how do they work and, you know, and things, and is it organic? Is it, you know, what is it? And I just have to say, look, the stuff says side on it. Side means to kill. We're going to kill them. What do you care if we kill them organically or inorganically? Yeah. And I can't really say that to somebody, but I have to give them the information and definitely, you know, take the time to get that sale because I want to make them comfortable with what they're buying.
Exactly. This is why when salespeople get started, they can have about a 25 to 33% closing rate because there's really three, maybe four buying styles out there by the time you figure out hybrids. They're able to sell to their process and the one close to it, but not the one far away.
So they have a 30% chance of closing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in order to get that percentage up over 50, you got to learn how to sell to all three or four sides.
Correct. So in the world of sales, they say that 33% of people buy on price, 33% are in the middle, and 33% don't care about price. So realistically, if you have a 66% closing rate, that's a pretty good closing rate for most industries. And every industry is different. Okay. I know that in the industry that I train the most in, heating and air, for in-home sales, they say if you got a 28% closing rate, that's average for the industry.
And I know for the company you work with, that's not even acceptable.
Yeah. There's a lot of companies out there that say if you can't have a 45% closing rate, that you're not even in the building.
And so it's important that the people that you train for the company that you're working for actually has this training. Because it makes them that much better of a salesperson. And we can even take it back as people sell like they buy to people learn the same way.
I would agree with that.
You know, if they're impatient and they don't want to take time to learn, they're going to be sitting in your class, playing with their pencils, doing stuff, looking at their phone, and they're impatient. And I can understand that, but people that, you know, want to take a long time to figure stuff out, they're gonna be very attentive in your class, and you have to identify as you're in the class on how they're doing that. And to me, reading body language as you're looking around, you can see exactly what they're doing.
Well, I'll tell you this: I've been in front of a room now for the last five, going on 6 years, and one of the things that I notice is the people who screw around in class are typically the ones that have all the questions, and those are the ones that can't close. Yesterday, we go to Baker's Donut for a class that I'm teaching, and Baker's Donuts is directly across the street from a Krispy Kreme. They're literally, you know, 180 feet apart from each other. You got a donut shop that's been there for 30 years, and then Krispy Kreme came in 3 or 4 years ago. It used to be a taco stand, and the whole takeaway that I was working on teaching with these guys was you have a place that sells donuts for $3, Baker's Donuts. You got a place across the street, Krispy Kreme, that sells donuts for $2 or $1, but they're getting trounced by the little guy. Well, the guys who struggle the most and the ones who don't sell, they were the ones that were screwing around not paying attention to the sales lesson. The guys who are serious about it and have a high closing rate, those were the guys like, man, I love this lesson plan.
So question for you, because of that, did you let them figure out what the pricing was themselves, or did you explain the pricing to them ahead of time?
I didn't explain the pricing to them ahead of time. When we went to the location, I showed them, look, here's how much donuts are here. And then we literally walked across the street and went to the other place and bought donuts. And then I had 2 dozen donuts total. So I had a dozen donuts from Baker's and then a dozen donuts from Krispy Kreme. And I said, this box cost $9. This one cost $20. They're donuts, right? They're a commodity. A donut's a donut.
Exactly. So what was the takeaway? Which one did you have some of the guys that you had with you just have the aha moment?
Some of the guys, you could see the light bulb go off in their head. And the guys who struggle, the guys who were screwing around, as my football coach used to call grab butt, they were screwing around. They're the ones who are constantly struggling with making a sale. They don't want to be coached. They want to do things their way. They want to say that I did it on my own and I didn't have to have help.
So are those the same guys that go in and offer a low price right off the bat? And then they have no way to negotiate, because we talked a little bit earlier about negotiating, and you know, sometimes it's like, I want the lowest price. So when I'm going to sell, I'm going to go in with the lowest price and then I don't have anywhere to go after that.
Some of these guys are exactly what you're talking about. And even worse, some of these guys don't even give a presentation. They just give a ballpark. They go in and they start talking, and if they get the inkling that the person's a slow buyer, or they don't feel like that person's ready to make a decision, well, why don't you just let me give you a ballpark?
Really?
Yeah.
And how does the company that you work for deal with that?
Not very good.
Yeah. Because most of the time they're not going to be closing any sales. And if they're not closing sales, they're not going to be able to keep a car and a vehicle on the road, and they're not going to be able to make any money themselves.
Yeah.
So, well, cool. I think there's a lot of good content that we have in this one, and we're going to put a number of these podcasts together and talk about sales and just all kinds of different sales. Between us, we have a lot of different businesses that we've been involved with. And as people get to know us, they'll know some of the businesses that we're involved with.
Yeah. And I think it's important that we start from the very beginning and say, hey, look, your learning style is your buying style. Your buying style is your selling style. People sell how they buy. And if you figure out which style you have, you know where you need to work. Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.